Blog Talk Radio.
Enhance your mind. Recharge your spirit. Awaken your soul. Enhancing Awareness Radio. Enhancing awareness with clarity.
Just enough spark
if we need, proceed, carry on, give me hope, give me strength, come with me, and I won't do you wrong, put your faith and your trust, as I guide us through the fog, through the light, at the end of the tunnel, we gon' fight, we gon' charge, we gon' storm, we gon' march through the swamp, we gon' rise through the morn, take us right through the doors, come on, and as we proceed, to march through this desert storm, and these closing statements, if they should argue, let us make the difference, as we set aside our differences, and assemble our own army, to disarm this weapon of mass destruction, that we call our president, for the present, and mindful the future of our next generation, to speak and be heard.
All right, royalty to all. Thank you guys for tuning in to another podcast of Motivational Classroom. I am your host, Haru the Seven, the Oracle. Haru the Oracle Seven. Most know me also as Keeping Void. And I come to you today to rebroadcast a topic in which is very controversial, due to emotions, due to agenda, due to controlling narrative, due to a lot of things. And even the lecture that I chose to use today is a popular lecture that I use, a popular channel, excuse me, that I use a lot, Black Magic 363. If you guys have not subscribed to Black Magic 363, please go and subscribe to them. Love Brother Rich. Brother Rich is actually somebody who I modeled under because I used to love the way he would always interview, like, the greats. I remember when he interviewed, like, Dick Gregory and Dr. Deborah Blair. I think he even Bobby Hemming, him and Miss Blue. So him and Miss Blue is two people that I am panicked, right? Those are three people who are really in Blair. I mean, all of them, all of them I studied under for a long time, and it actually inspired me to, you know, start here. Not just trying to model them along, but just I wanted to do my own thing, and I actually kept it going. Many of them, Miss Blue is still here on Blog Talk, but many of them, we, you know, did other things because of, you know, things that went on with Blog Talk, but a lot of kinks were fixed with Blog Talk, so I stayed, right? So anyway, this is a topic, and it's the Freemasons and the Boule, and it's the history. Now, this is my second time doing this podcast, and I included in the first podcast The Two Americas by Martin Luther King. I'm not going to play it because I fell asleep. Okay, you listen to Martin Luther King, y'all, I fell asleep, okay? Respect to the elders, though. But I believe Dr. King was a Mason. There are a lot of brothers, you know, who are Freemasons, and Freemasonry, I feel, has a bad rap or may have a bad name. But, you know, just the spirit in me is just saying, you know, it's always don't judge the messenger or don't judge, you know, always pay attention to the message. And I feel that there are, I was very disrespectful, I think, in some of my older podcasts because it came from a place of anger. Being that I'm in a place now to where I want to balance things out, and, you know, I just want to hear just many different perspectives. For Smalls, which is somebody who I saw in person, I didn't actually meet him, but I've seen him lecturing here in Dallas, and you know, I respect his perspective. So I wanted to, and I had not listened to this, you guys. Motivational Classroom, as you guys know, is where I sit on the couch with you guys. I learn, you know, some things I'm well scholared on, other things sometimes, most of the times I'm actually in classroom with you guys, revisiting topics and so on and so on, so forth, right? So the history in the Black Freemasonry, you know, that's what we're going to start off. This may be a two-parter. Actually, it is going to be a two-parter because they come back, because there was a lot of heat. Like I said, this is a very controversial topic because many people feel like a lot of the Freemasonry brotherhoods, you know what I'm saying, who may have more knowledge or more wisdom than others, you know, are only in it, you know, for their good Freemasonry and their bad Freemasonry. You know what I'm saying? And this is just hypothetically speaking. I'm pretty sure I know many in my personal life, although, you know, it's kept secret, so many people just can't outright tell you what they're a part of behind the curtain, right? But there's many controversies when it comes to this topic, many things like, what have you guys been doing? You know, like, what are you guys truly up to? You know, is it the benefit of the people truly, or is it just really a big business that's behind the curtain, really, to each their own as far as fatting their own pocket? But, I mean, and that's just, those are just questions that are being raised, that are being asked. That's what the controversy is all about. Pay much attention, you know, to really care about what other people are doing. Although it's very important to enhance our awareness and to be in the know. So that's why I'm here today, bringing this topic back, and I'm by myself doing this. So I just want to have a listening ear just to see what his perspective may be on this. So, you know, that's all without further ado. So let's just hop right into it, guys. I'm going to post a link in the show notes if you guys want to go subscribe to Brother Rich's channel. Amazing. I'm going to be having many lectures. He had Sister Myra on the other day. You know what I mean? So love the brother. Love what he's doing. I heard he was a part, you know, but it shouldn't be like a bad thing. I don't want to be a part personally, but it's tricky, right? So let's just hear what the brothers are saying on this topic, and maybe you'll hear the controversy too. You know, I think Brother Rich poses some good questions on the topic, so I'm going to be listening today. All right, guys, I'll be back periodically throughout the podcast, and if you need to contact me, I do those consultation sessions. Please utilize my link tree in the show notes, guys. I really haven't been doing too much of my spiritual consultations due to a lot going on and energy transfers and change, you know what I'm saying? So I've been focused a lot lately. But if you do need to contact me for anything, free PDFs as well, do so. All right, guys.
Hey, family, we are now live. I'm with the elder. I hope everybody can hear me. As always, let me know if y'all can hear me. I like to start the show out like that so I don't waste time. Everybody's time is precious. Still getting my setup together in the ATL. So if there's any buffering tonight, excuse me. If there's any hiccups tonight on the live stream, excuse me. Still getting this thing together. I'm with an amazing elder, living legend. Professor James Small, welcome back, my brother.
Thank you, Brother Rich. Thank you very much. And I want to thank you, Rich, you know, for helping me talk to people about the passing of our Brother Rock. You know, we had his funeral. The people came forward, step up. We were able to do all the financing that needed to be done.
Excellent.
And there's probably something even left for his children.
Excellent.
All went well. It was a beautiful committee that was put together with the family and some friends, and they just did what they had to do. And we had the community funeral yesterday in Harlem, and people turned out to Salem, I think Methodist Church.
Mm.
The people turned out, you know, even into the evening when I left, people were still hearing about it and coming to say goodbye to Brother Rock.
That's great. That's great. Yeah. Once again, Rock was a good brother.
Yeah.
Next event in Brooklyn, he would come out there sometimes and you know, just show the love and support. And, you know, he was serious about his business. So definitely rest in power to that brother right there. You know, we're going to have an important conversation tonight, Professor.
Yes, sir.
There's a lot of misconceptions about Black Freemasons. And especially after around the year 2000, so much quote unquote conspiracy theory information came out, hit the shelves, the bookstores, that it was overload. Some of it was right, some of it was wrong. You know, and that's how it is with all information. People, you know, sometimes people start reaching and they just start making shit up. Sometimes they got it right. They tell the truth. But there's a lot of misconception about the black Freemasons. And I know a lot of the greats, like Elijah Muhammad. This is from what I hear, brother, the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, Nobuju Ali. I'm trying to think of some others, but a lot of brothers.
Any great black man you can mention in Black America was a tenfold Freemason. Mm-hmm. Name one, Dr. King, Adam Cole.
Because of that, mm-hmm. Professor, some people are like, oh man, they were set up because they're viewing it from a 2005 perspective, and they're not understanding what was going on at that time.
They're alive and breathing in America today prove their ancestors weren't sellouts.
Mm.
I mean, the youngsters today are sellouts because I don't see them out there fighting for nothing.
Mm. Let's talk about religion.
Why are you selling drugs to my people? Well, I can't find a job. So you're going to kill my people, but I ain't told them to buy it.
Mm.
You know, that's the collaborator that in the days of Prince Paul would have been assassinated by the black community.
Mm.
You see? So what we don't understand is that those men, they were African. That's why the lodge was called the Free African Lodge.
Mm-hmm. And this is Prince Paul. Prince Paul, right?
Only after his death did they name it symbolically Prince Hall.
Oh, okay.
But it was put together as the Free African Lodge.
Mm.
And that's what it was for 30-something years.
Mm.
The founding lodge in Boston, Massachusetts, is still called the Free African Lodge Number 1.
Wow. And this is in Boston?
In Boston. And
Who is Prince Hall then? Because we keep hearing his name when it comes to Freemasonry. Who is Prince Hall?
Prince Hall was a free brother. No one knows whether he was born free or he bought himself out of freedom, but he was a free black man that lived in Massachusetts. He worked in a number of things, making sails, which was a big business back then, leather tanning, which was another big business back then, and other businesses. He founded the first school for black children in America, and he was living.
Excellent.
And he saw that black nationalism today.
Mm.
But him and 14 other brothers, who were all free black men, they weren't enslaved, they were born into freedom in Massachusetts, petitioned to be a part of the white Freemasonic Lodge.
Mm-hmm.
They heard that Mason was the place to help fight for liberty, and these brothers wanted to fight for freedom.
Mm-hmm.
And so, of course, the white folks refused them. This was in 1780-something. So first of all, in the 1779, or something like that. And they decided that, okay, hell with y'all. We're going to go to these Irish dudes over here, because the British Army, remember by then, it wasn't 1776 yet, so the British Army was still stationed in America.
Mm-hmm.
So they went to the Irish brothers.
Mm-hmm.
At that time, Irish was considered to be non-white.
Yes, you're right. Yes.
They're still secretly considered non-white today. Mm-hmm. But back then, they were straight up. Y'all ain't one of us. The Irish Lodge and the Irish brothers let them organize the lodge under their charter.
Oh, that's how it happened.
Then the Revolutionary War came.
Mm-hmm.
The Irish got to go back to England.
Mm-hmm.
So now they don't have the jurisdiction to be under, so they go back to the white Americans. And they said, if you can bury your people like Masons, and you can walk and operate, but you can't raise nobody. So they had to back. They petitioned the Grand Lodge of England, which is where the white Americans claimed they got their charter.
Mm-hmm.
And Prince Hall was granted a charter, but not just Prince Hall, 14 of his brothers. I even have all their names here. They were granted a charter, called their lodge, the Free African Lodge.
Mm-hmm.
Number one. And that's what they were calling the lodge when the Irish was there 20 years or 15 years earlier, the Free African Lodge Number 1. And so they tried to work with the white folks. They said, no, so they said, okay, we're going to get our own charter.
Mm-hmm.
And independence from you.
Mm-hmm.
You know? A few years later, I think it was in 1780, the British have a split in England between their Grand Lodge, and then two Grand Lodges came up. And Prince Hall and a lot of others were omitted from their list, as the white folks could fight him over there, but Prince Hall was never erased. So Prince Hall came up because, okay, we're declaring ourselves independent of England. We are whole Grand Lodge.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's what it's been ever since, is about knowledge. Much of the knowledge of Freemasonry is about kinship. So I don't understand what people are talking about the Illuminati. I wish I was an Illuminati. Illuminati is just some rich dudes that's running the damn world. I'd love to be the rich dude running the world.
All right, let me ask you this, Professor James Moore. I think one of the problems people have with the idea of Freemasonry and Freemasons is that they feel like they're hiding some important information in, as it pertains to our history
It ain't a problem because we ain't even looking for the basic history of African Americans. Then you want to get a PhD and you're scared to go to kindergarten. But let's get down. You want to understand there's a little thing on, for TikTok. That you want to bumba? You want to play with the big boys? Then earn your way to the big boys. You don't know the basic African American history. You come from South Carolina, you don't know the basic history of blacks in South Carolina. You live in America, you don't know the basic history. Thousands and thousands of books on Africa, you don't know the basic history of Africa, but you want to know the secret. There's a reason for it to be a secret, because you don't give tools that are dangerous to ignorant people.
They're
equipped to you.
Okay.
If you take a nuclear weapon and give it to a dude that thinks it's a BB gun, so what you're talking about in the days, in the early days of Freemasonry in the West, we'll get to Egypt in a minute, but Freemasonry in the West, coming out of England, these are barbarians that were being raised to be human in their behavior. This body of knowledge that they call masonry in England, and they're trying, white folks are trying to own them, was an organizing tool brought from Kemet by the Knights Templars. If you know some brothers and sisters that know the Knights Templars, I see some of their writings, I see some of the things on the internet. But there's another body that was more stricter than the Knights Templars. It was called the Knights Hospitallers.
Never heard of it.
That's what I mean.
Say that word again.
The Knights Hospitallers. The Knights Templars went to the Middle East to act as security for pilgrims going to Jerusalem from Europe. And so they were the Knights of the Temple, meaning they're guarding the temple.
Yeah.
And they had forts starting all the way up in Syria, coming right down the coast of the Mediterranean, right until you get up to what they call Israel today and Jerusalem. So they got so big so fast, and so many of them were getting hurt and killed during the wars with the Muslim community that had not been born and rose up. They sent another group, the rich white folks sent another group over to build hospitals. To take care of the sick, to control the medicine, control the herbs. That group is called the Knights Hospitallers. And they became a bigger army than the Knights Templars. Salahuddin, I think in the 11th century, Salahuddin is the head of an Islamic community. Salahuddin, a lot of times people try to make him black, but he wasn't black. He's probably kind of browned off because he was there. But he's a Arab. He was a Slavic. The red slave comes from Slavic. You see that they're fighting that war over there now? Those people there were brought as slaves by the Muslim Arabs and black folks into the Middle East. And into Egypt. So one of the slave grandchildren is called Salahuddin. He became a mighty Islamic warrior, and he took on the he took on the and a nice house to call it, and he drove them out of the Middle East. And they first went to, what's the island? This one island in the Mediterranean that the Greek claims to be their home. So they first went there, and then the Muslims advanced towards Greece. So the Knights Templars went deep into Europe, basing themselves in France. Talas based themselves in Malta. Muslims attacked Malta, but it was pretty fierce, but couldn't defeat them because Malta is a big rock. It's very hard to assault it because it's easy to defend. And so the Knights Hospitallers successfully destroyed a big Muslim army. They got big credibility. So then Malta was given to them. And so you'll notice when I call their name of the day, today they call the Knights of Malta. And the Knights of the Palace. Who was more powerful than the Knights Templars. But the Knights Templars, because of the gold and all the wealth, they got some raiding the tombs in Egypt. Yeah, nobody talks about that piece, right? They got all, because when people raiding the tomb, they ain't doing no archaeology. They're stealing gold. Okay, let's call it what it is. They're stealing Jews. They're grave robbers for money. Right. And whatever they stole out of Jerusalem. And so they take the fact that the Knights Templars are some of the wealthiest, most powerful people in Europe. But they're challenging the Catholic Church, which is headed by this dude named Pope Clement. I think Clement I before Clement and then Clement. So Clement, the church has pretty much moved from Rome because the Muslims are coming down on them. They've got to get the hell up out of here, go deeper in Europe. So the church is pretty much based in France. And they felt that the Knights Templars, because they've been in Africa for so long, no longer believed in Christianity. That they were worshiping an African religion. So they moved on them. They claimed they moved on them for religious reasons, but they wanted to steal the millions and tens of millions of dollars worth of wealth that they had. So the Knights Templars then left France and spread out all over Europe, but their main base is in Scotland and England. And that's where grew up Freemasonry as we know it today in the West, out of that move of them going and planting the knowledge they learned in Kemet in England. They tried to run you some stuff about stonemasons, and they were stonemasons, and then the people, their rich folks wanted to be, the stonemason was organized in guilds, like unions, and so rich little playboy type wanted to be a part of an organized thing, so they created Freemasonry. That's bullshit. Okay, straight up. Is that any Mason hear me say it? I'm telling you, and I'm in the lodge.
So you in the lodge, right?
37. Yes, sir. Prince Hall Grand Lodge.
Prince Hall Grand Lodge.
Yeah. And the thing is, everybody's afraid to say where Masonry's foundation is, because if you do, white folks ain't got no credibility. Freemasonry is the most powerful organizational tool white people have to organize their elite and their upper working class elite into a brotherhood to maintain control over economic politics and culture where they find themselves. All right, Brother Morgan.
Hey, Professor, so here's one of the things. When people hear the word Freemason, they often, the black Freemason, they often compare that to what we call the boule. So you think that's like a boule clan?
What book? You see this book?
Yes, sir.
This is by a white woman, right?
Yeah, hold up. Let me put that on the screen. Yeah.
Okay. And she's in the French Grand Lodge. But the French Grand Lodge always had women as Freemasonry. The English Lodge has just done that a few years ago, but very few women have taken it up because they have the Eastern Star as their state. But in the French Grand Lodge, they ain't no Eastern Star. The women and men are all Masons together. And she did a hell of a work on this book, brother, Black Freemasonry, from Prince Hall to the Giants of Jazz. So, brother, footnote and the bibliography is heavy, so you'll be able to further your research. And that's the key. Anytime you read a book, go to the bibliography and find the books they looked at. You know, there's a few others I'm going to show you as we go along. But there's one other I'll mention right now before we get into the history of Masonry. And this is called Freemasonry of the Ancient Egyptians by Manly P. Hall. Now, you can see it if you look at on there. Now, Manly P. Hall is a bad dude, right? And most people don't know who Manly P. Hall is. Do you know who Manly P. Hall is?
He has something to do with the KKK?
No, God.
Who is that? No, that's Albert Pike. That's Albert Pike. That's Pike. That's Albert McCann, but
this is
the man. Man, you got to clear some stuff up, Professor, man. There's so much misinformation out there. Oh, that's a big book.
This is Manly P. Hall.
What's the title of that? The what?
It's just called, I mean, I forgot, The Encyclopedic Outline of Masonic, Hermetic, Kabbalistic, and Rastafarian.
Open that up for us. Let me see something. No, don't do that to us, man. Don't do that to us. Look at that book. Don't do that.
They got to understand that.
Being an interpretation of the secrets is filled with the ritual allegories and mysteries of all ages.
It's symbolic, you see? The secret mysteries of all ages.
You ain't gonna give us no more? Professor, you ain't gonna give us no more?
Oh, yeah, I'm gonna give you one more.
No, I'm saying, let me see another page.
The secret mysteries of all ages. Let me see. And these are cool. Them old folks are putting some knowledge out here, but we've been missing it. Let me see. They got stuff like this. What do they find?
That's what I'm saying. Okay, hold on. So they don't even sell this book. This ain't a book that's for sale, right, Professor?
Then you can buy it if you can find it.
You find it?
Yeah. I'll try to find it for you.
That looks like a hell of a book. I mean, can you please? I would appreciate it.
Yeah. And this year, they're trying to understand our wisdom to use it to develop their power bases, you know?
Man, family, this book, wow.
So we need to stop playing with the thing and understand this man didn't get to run the world just with his gun. Yeah, he had the gun. But the reason he came up with the gun because he learned this stuff. Okay? He runs the world, and we should make it mad because he run the world. He ain't supposed to run the world for you. He's supposed to run the world for him and his people. And so you need to grab this one.
The Knights Templar in Britain.
Yes.
Okay.
You really get a sense of it, and then you kind of see the history of this thing. It has to be said.
Hey, Professor, how is Masonry connected to the Moors? Is that like a big connection right there when you say the word Moors and the word Black Freemasons? Because they said the Moors taught them.
That's not true. That's not true. Black people got such a beautiful history. We don't have to live on mythology.
Okay?
We need to deal with history. And that don't mean his story. Because if he says history, he's talking about our story. You can say our story if you want to. That's just playing with words, but that ain't playing with ideas.
Mm-hmm.
Let's play with ideas. The blacks who lived in North Africa, his proper name should be called the Gugamas.
Not the Moors?
They didn't call them. Nobody can show you in history where any black man in North Africa called himself the Moor. But I don't even want to get into that argument. People got their whole thing out there doing their thing, and that's them. And I say to them, like I say to my Hebrew Israelite brother, if God gave you Israel, don't take it from them Pakistan. It's about the people. I ain't standing in the way you getting on LL and landing in Israel and Tel Aviv. Take your land back. I tell the Moorish brother, stop bothering me. You from North Africa, from Morocco? Royal Air Morocco will sell you a ticket today. Leave me alone. I'm an African. If you don't understand that, don't come telling me what my identity is if you don't want me to tell you what yours is. you are more, I will respect you. That's your identity. Mm-hmm. But don't tell me I don't have an identity unless I assume your identity. And said that's where the argument goes wrong. Instead of finding unity between people of ancient black descent, there's a word that comes from North Africa. It ain't no fighting man word. You don't find the roots for Africa in no European language in the world. Anybody that can find it, tell them come see me. Because they can't.
Mm.
And they go, if you go far back to Rome, you will not find the roots for Africa, but I can find the roots for Moors back in Rome and in Greece. And it simply meant black. But I don't want to argue that with nobody, nor am I trying to offend or disrespect any of my brothers or sisters, because I will die as quickly for a Moorish brother as I will die for a Muslim brother or a Christian brother, or a traditional African brother in terms of his belief. Mm. All my people is my people. We have different identities, different ethnic nations, different historical experiences. But don't impose that on everybody.
Mm.
The person in South Africa didn't know nothing about Spain. Yet he lived at the same time the Moors were conquering Spain and southern France. And so they didn't take those people, Freemasonry, the Knights Templars stuff. We took them in science, but not in Freemasonry.
Professor, talk to the, I'm sorry, so I got to answer the door real quick. Just talk, yes. Keep talking to people. I'll be right back.
I will. And so we didn't have to, the body of knowledge that the Moors took from North Africa into Southern Europe, meaning Spain and France, that's the same body of knowledge you're talking about when you're talking about Freemasonry. This is about bodies of knowledge on how to live life, on how to be a man, on how to build a family, on how to be a community. That's what this is fundamentally about. And that's why somebody said, where did you first become a Mason? You said, in my heart. Why did you come to Masonry? You know, I'm seeking greater light, greater understanding, greater knowledge of self. And we've allowed it to be reduced to foolishness and truly disgusting. If you look at David Walker, you look at Adam Powell, you look at Dr. King, all these men, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, as the brother said earlier, Absalom Jones, W.B. Du Bois, Booker T. Washington, all of these men were principal Freemasons. And so if we don't study our own history and we keep dealing with the white man's interpretation of our history, we're not going to understand the value of an institution like Freemasonry. It is a valuable institution. Do we have some corrupt Negroes in there? Of course we do. If we care about it, let's go clean it up, man. The corruption out of there. And use the body of knowledge to help free our people. And that's what we're not doing. We're sitting back criticizing stuff, but we're not building nothing. We're not developing anything. We're sitting back saying we're critiquing the past, but we're not. Because if we were critiquing the past, we would be studying people like Carter G. Woodson, who was a Prince Hall Freemason, and taking him seriously. We'd be discovering Marcus Garvey, who was a Freemason, you know, and we'd be taking him seriously, you know. And we're not, because we don't know. We don't know our basic history. No. Let's begin to know. Let's begin to understand. What did our ancestors use to organize themselves to survive slavery in America? When the Civil War was begun, there was close to 300,000 free black people in America. How did they get free? And what did they do with that freedom to get their other brothers and sisters free? What kind of organizational network did they have? How much of the Freemasons was involved in the Underground Railroad? How many of them volunteered in the 94th Division out of Massachusetts to go fight in the Civil War? How many of them was in the South Carolina 1st Regiment? Thousands who were Freemasons that went to fight the Confederacy in the South. Let's learn our story. Let's study our history. And then we'll know how to use the tools. A white Mason, he's not your friend. Even a non white basin is not particularly historically your friend. History told us they're not our friends. History told us that white Christians is not our friends. There were some white Christians who did the human thing and the right thing, but the overwhelming majority of white Christians is not our friends. The overwhelming majority of Arab Muslims was not our friends. These are the people that enslaved us and committed genocide on us, and we shouldn't even call it slavery. It's genocide by slavery. And they were full participants. But black Masons were not people. That's white Masons. Let's make the difference. They both had a tool of how to be a human being. One uses to commit genocide against other human beings, or one uses to free those human beings from that genocide called slavery. So that's what's important, but understanding history, let's understand the context of the content so we can fully explain the content to ourselves and our children. Freemasonry is a set of tools.
You know, guys, I come in periodically, and I just want to pause right there and say, you know, many of us are kind of getting spent, if you will, on the, you know, the story and the history, you know, revisiting it over and over and over again. It's kind of like we're playing the same track on a 3D perspective, but we're really not getting any real results. You know what I mean? So to anyone who's listening to Enhancing Awareness Radio, I encourage you to know the value. And he's, I mean, I like I said, guys, I respect him and I love his teachings and the value of the history, but not the history that was taught to you, but doing your own research as far as what the history may mean for you, connecting your own dots. Dane Calloway, go look him up on YouTube. He's another guy. Remedy H, he's another guy. You got to kind of know who to listen to. But if you are on the same track and you're really not getting anywhere but, you know, anger, and I was there. That's why I'm redoing this podcast, because I'm like, wait a minute. Let me go back. You know, I'm back to my basics, back to the basics, right? This is what this season is about. So not getting caught in the loop. You know what I mean? All right.
And how to re-educate yourself when someone has taken that education away.
All right.
So, yes, sir.
I'm sorry about that.
You mentioned something about the Boulay, and I didn't even go deep into the Boulay. But the Boulé was not the enemy of black people. That's crap, too.
In Hollywood, like how they say all these Boulé people, you don't think, like, they got an agenda, Professor Small?
Who's that?
Let's just say, who was that? Remember, it was W.E.B. Du Bois, and who was his what do you call that, predecessor, not predecessor, who was his arch enemy, or W.E.B. Du Bois. You know what I'm talking about? Booker T. Washington, right?
You know, Booker T. wasn't his arch enemy. That's white folks' crap that we call them to. They were friends and they were brothers.
But like, let's say Martin and Malcolm. I'm trying to think of an example. Let's say Malcolm and Martin. People would say
Malcolm and Martin was not arch enemy.
People would say, no. But people, not that they're arch enemies, but people would say Martin was Boulé because of his whole approach with integration, and Malcolm was. I'm just using that example.
The people who don't know nothing about history and don't know the life of Martin or the life of Malcolm.
Please teach them.
That Martin and the Honorable Elijah Muhammad had the same lawyer. That will tell you something. And then Martin and the Honorable Elijah Muhammad had multiple meetings before Malcolm even left the nation.
Okay, they say W.E.B. Du Bois went against Marcus Garvey and Booker T. Washington.
Marcus Garvey also went against W.E.B. Du Bois. Who gives Marcus Garvey the high ground? Mm-hmm. W.E.B. Du Bois country. This is W.E.B. Du Bois movement. So how does Marcus Garvey get the high ground?
Mm-hmm.
Let's start looking at history like this. Yeah, they had a disagreement. Mm-hmm. They had a fundamental disagreement, and it got nasty in the letters that the two of them wrote to one another.
Mm-hmm.
But even that one disagreement between critical leadership break our whole egg apart, that we keep doing that even today.
We keep doing that. That's the point.
Steve Washington gave the boys his first job.
That was a good point. Yeah.
But they had an issue.
Mm.
Now, if I was to look at history, I'd go like, wow, both of them like the same sister. Did the boys get mad because the sister might hate Booker? You know, but I won't make that case. Let some youngster do some research to make that case. What was the issue about? The boys felt that we should develop our social integration with white people.
Mm-hmm.
Booker said, hell with integration. Let's own the land. And let's develop some financial foundation. We are saying that right now, and won't give credit to Booker Washington. Everything we're calling black nationalism right now, Booker Washington did that. Booker Washington invites Marcus Garvey to come to America.
Mm-hmm.
They had been communicating by mail. You can find all the letters in the Schomburg. Dr. Tony Martin wrote about it, right? And Booker T. Washington III was a very good friend of mine. He was a member of Malcolm X OAU. He lived on 139th Street down from where our headquarters was, and I read those letters before they got to the Schomburg.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And so when the people, somebody just put up there, the boy said he sold up. Please study the boys. Mm-hmm. The boys were a revolutionary more than you could even dream of being one.
No,
I'm learning history.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I didn't agree with the boys because he chose Marxism as a way of fighting.
Mm-hmm.
But he chose it because it seemed like the only weapon available at the time.
At the time. Okay.
He had helped early into the NAACP. He got pushed out of the leadership of the NAACP.
Mm-hmm.
But he still kept his radical position. He controlled the newsletter of the NAACP for years, putting very radical tools until he got pushed out of that. By the white folks and the bourgeois Negroes, who was afraid he was too radical for them to get the kind of financing they were trying to do to build the legal structure they were trying to put together to challenge the American segregation structure. So study the history. It wasn't a left or right. This is a very intimate, intricate story. People fighting. That same W.B. Du Bois was a part of the Niagara Movement. The Niagara Movement is the movement that became the NAACP. Ida B. Wells was in that. T. Thomas Fortune was in that. Booker T. Washington was in that. Martin Delaney was in that. So, and before that, they had an organization founded in 1892 called the American League before Malcolm X. Okay?
Well, it was 1892.
1892, the Afro-American League. The boys was in it. The chairman was a cat named T. Thomas Fortune.
Mm-hmm.
And the idea came from some sisters out of Rochester, New York,
mm-hmm.
who had a thing called the Afro-American Society. So we need to study African-American history. We out here talking, haven't read one or two books, and we haven't studied the history of our people.
Mm-hmm.
It's a 500-year-long history in this country.
You know what the people in chat keep mentioning? They keep mentioning the brother Steve Coakley. So now, Steve Coakley talked a lot about the Boule. Would you say the same thing to the brother Steve Coakley, what you're saying now about
the Boule? Yes, you know, I get about this all the time.
Oh, yeah?
Steve would never put in New York without giving me a hang. And then I'd put in Chicago and D.C. without calling Steve. Steve is a revolutionary and a brother. I knew him since he's going back to when he was working at Harold Washington in Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
What Steve is trying to show us is an instrument that was not working right anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if I give you a car, and you drive that car nicely and you use it to help people,
mm-hmm.
and then I give another brother a car, just like your car, so you decide to run over people with
mm-hmm.
Is the car the problem, or is it the Negro, I'm going to use the right word, in that car?
That's what we're talking about.
That the Boule came together,
mm-hmm.
a group of black folks that were professors, mainly at that time dentists. They were dentists, doctors, and lawyers.
Mm-hmm.
And the white professional association didn't allow them to be a part of their association. So they founded their own association.
Mm-hmm.
Bublé is just an acronym. What is it? It's Pi Sigma. What's the actual name of Bublé? That's not the name of it. And they found this fraternity before any of the fraternities on any college campuses. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And they found it so that the black professional elite would have a way to associate with one another.
Mm-hmm.
And those are the men and the women. We can call them what we want to now, but they built the Black Wall Street. They built Wilmington.
The Boulay. You saying the Boulay built Black Wall
Street? Yes, sir.
Oh, you will get in trouble now. You will get in trouble now, Professor.
Black Wall Street.
You will get in trouble now.
Black Wall Street. Because, see, I was hanging out in Oklahoma long before this president went there. Matter of fact, I wouldn't go there last year. Brothers then begged me to come. Listen, I'm not coming to these so-called there. I will come this year, and I will be the top. I've marched in the streets of South Oklahoma for years.
Mm.
Even when I couldn't walk anymore with bad knees, the brothers pushed me in a wheelchair.
Mm.
So people need to do the study. Study our history. And they'll see that even Black Wall Street in South Oklahoma was burnt down by the Ku Klux Klan.
Mm.
An army of Klansmen that was brought in for that purpose. People who defended them was a group of brothers who had served in the First World War called the African Blood Brotherhood. They gave me an award for coming out.
Blood Brotherhood.
Yes, sir. Born in 1912 right here in New York City. We need to study history and get rid of the white man's mystery and do a real analysis of what happened to us. And so
you teach history without emotion. I'm sorry.
We see it work. He had a very harsh criticism of the Boulé. The Boulé is an organization of our elite, meaning people who are, many of them are medical doctors, many of them are millionaires, and they see themselves in the same vein as America's structure, you know, the social structure. And they're the people who are involved in the Democratic Party and the Republican Party and the people who are bent on the stock markets. And these are the people who are putting money behind the black colleges. And these are the people who may decide to become a president of a black college. That's what elites in any community do. What is our job? To neutralize that kind of behavior so it doesn't become elite.
Mm.
And our job is to organize, and we don't. We criticize those who have organized, out-organized us. That's what they're supposed to do, unless you organize yourself better.
Man, Professor, they got so many questions in the chat room, man. You know what I like? You know what I like? You know what I like, Professor? You said, you know what I like? I like that you teach without being emotional about history. So when you're emotional about history, you automatically block out certain things because you don't want to know that truth, or you want to know, you don't want to know. I like how you just like, yo, listen, this is what happened.
It's like these work, right?
Mm.
It's some good work. People need to read some of this work. Besides, in an institution that exists, and an institution that simply is organized black people, a certain segment of your population have organized themselves. They hold cotillions. You know people still hold cotillions?
Mm.
You know what a cotillion is? For those who don't know, what a cotillion is when you put your children in a rites of passage program, but they don't call it rites of passage. See, when we tried in the 60s to create rites of passage, African standard rites of passage, the Boulé and the middle class already had a rites of passage program. They called it cotillion, all right? Especially for the girls. And they would have their sweet 16 party, and 18 when they graduated from high school, they would have this big ball and coming out. I used to be an escort. I had a little white jacket and a couple of things. And you learn a lot from getting involved in these things. And it ain't what you think they are. These are the people in the community trying, at that time, was basically trying to get into college. Because we really didn't get access to colleges in America in a big way until after 1969. After me and my comrades took over City College and brought open admissions into being. That's when the college doors opened up in America. Before that, only the upper class black folks would get most of the seats in the black colleges. Some of our working class kids would get in. But for the thousands and thousands of American colleges that were dominantly white, It was like City College. It sat in the middle of Harlem. Had 22,000 students in 1969 and less than 150 black folks. And we went in and kicked the friggin' doors down and ripped the fence down and knocked the glasses down and said, and took over 17 buildings and said, you won't open back up until you change your policy on how people get into college. And our city university is one of the largest black universities in the country, but we don't talk about that because we don't know how to look at our victories and appreciate it and raise it up, you know?
What I was taught coming up in consciousness over 15 years ago, Professor, about the word boule is that they were advisors to the king. So what do you think about that definition?
Whatever little, you know, boule made me an advisor to the king. But hell, the word James, my name is James Small, it has an English meaning too. I'm not a minor apostle. That's my name. Yeah, I'm a minor apostle. If I did become an apostle, I want to be a major one. But they weren't advisors to nobody's king. They were a group of black folks who became the leadership element of the black community. Mm-hmm. Their weakness was they didn't build the bridges strong enough between themselves and their people. But it wasn't just on the upper side of that. The masses of the people failed too.
Mm-hmm.
They wanted to behave like children and have somebody else take care of them. We're still in that same mode.
We're still in that, yeah.
Last time on your show, I said, every black man getting out of high school should join the American military. Both crying like little babies, but you'd rather walk up on the street and kill 30,000 of your men, women, and children in the last 15 years, right? Murder them in the name of you mad, the white folks, so you go shoot up the black community. Give me a break. What y'all talking about? You go shoot the woman with the baby and the carriage car from the street, and you mad because you ain't got a job. And so you're going to sell dope to your people and help murder them because you can't get a job. Then I'm giving you a way out. Can't get a job, join the military. They give you a job. They'll teach you how to shoot that gun, and you won't be killing innocent children. They'll teach you some discipline. They'll teach you some organizational strategies, and you can use it like the people in the 40s use it to build that big movement they built in the 50s and the 60s that gave you most of the freedom that you have today, and you have no respect for them because you don't know their history.
Professor, let's get to some Q&A. I love when you're on here because there's an aspect of history. There's stuff that you read in books, and there's stuff that the elders pass down. And sometimes the stuff the elders pass down ain't as pretty or controversial or salacious as the stuff we read in the book. So when I talk to an elder like you, I'm like, I didn't think about it like that. Not to say I agree with everything you say with the military, but you make me think about things.
Most of my father's generation was in the military. They didn't come back home and fight against black people. They're the men that built the black movement after the military. They didn't lose their mind. You don't lose your mind because you go downtown to the theater. You don't lose your mind because you have to find the baseball game a religion and the basketball game is a religion and the football game is a religion. You can be worshiping all those backwards people consciously. They're good athletes and probably good people. But they ain't leading you nowhere, and they ain't giving you none of their money. But you're worshiping them like they're the Holy Grail. Stop it.
Family, once again, I want to thank you. We got about 1,500 people in the building. This is an explosive show, family. This is an explosive show. I want to thank everybody for tuning in. Professor ain't sparing nobody. He's doing what he do. So I want to thank y'all. Make sure y'all hit the like button. That's very important. Also, make sure y'all donate to the channel. That's very important. And I also want to leave a Professor's Cash App with you. I should have this because you are a regular on the show. James.
I appreciate that.
Professor,
on the table every now and then.
What's your Cash App, my brother?
Dr. James Small.
So just Cash App, your Cash App is $ Dr. James Small.
Right.
Okay. So, yeah, family, like I said, it's very important. We're trying to get to the bottom of this whole Freemasonry thing, you know,
yeah,
when the Illuminati thing came
up. So I know I be going off sometimes, but I don't be going too far. Let's come back to the Freemason, and let me try to help.
Explain that. Let me hear.
Yeah. You know, Freemasonry is one of the most powerful organizations in the world, in any community in the world. The only organization that may be more powerful than it is the Communist Party in China. Okay. And even some of them is in Freemasonry, you know. So in the Western world, and the world that is of African people, dominant institution, and it's a very respected institution, and it's not used to oppress people. These are the people who are the ones that the critical leadership. But in any leadership, you don't have corruption. You don't take the one or two corrupt people and have them become the definition of critical institutions that your ancestors put together to try and help us out, you know? So let's try to think clearly. That's why that book, I'm going to show it again. This book is very good and at least let you see Freemasonry in the West as it manifests as Prince Hall. But get that book, give yourself a good foundation, and then look at Manly P. Hall. See what Manly P. Hall is writing. He ain't writing this book yesterday, right? Freemasonry in Ancient Egypt. Now, let me find, I just want to see the date of this publication so that you can see people have been having this discussion for a long time. And it's important that we begin to engage in the discussion. Now, that was copied by Hall book in 1937. Okay? 1937. So people have been looking at Kemet and Freemasonry since 1937. But these are white folks looking at it. Are we looking at it? And that's just sitting back, making criticism. The white folks call themselves the Illuminati. And that little group that called themselves the Illuminati, they've all got dissipated. Because the power that they were trying to go up against in the white community crushed it behind years ago. The power in the white community. And even the Rothschild ain't the bigger power. Like I see all the stuff with the Rothschild, because they just learned about the Rothschild because it sounds good. The Rothschild is down in the middle of the power broker. Now, the Jewish banking elite is a powerful instrument, but most of that is not controlled by the Rothschild. You know, there are other houses, banking houses, that control that money. Our problem is we don't understand how the world works. We don't understand how to get control of economic, politics, and culture where we live. So a lot of them are stuff like ADOs and all the kinds of crazy stuff. I'm a damn African. The word African comes from African. We didn't always call ourselves that, but that's what most of the Africans in the world call themselves today. We call ourselves African. I don't need no ADOs, DOs, DOBOs. I understand I belong to an ethnic nation called African Americans. America's a place and Africa's my race. And the reason I would call myself that, because I've lived here for 500 years fighting to survive. And I came from all over Africa, my genes and your genes. And so we're another ethnic group, just like the Zulu is an ethnic group. And the Yoruba is an ethnic group, and the Akan is an ethnic group, and the Kikuyu are ethnic group, and they're still Africans. We are African American as a distinct ethnic group, and we're still African. Mm-hmm. We own America too. We built this, we bought it, we ain't given it to nobody. Not our Latin cousins, nor our Arab cousins, or our Asian cousins, nobody. You're not taking my birthright away from me because you're willing to work for cheaper labor than I am. So my enemy will exploit you. But thank God that only lasts one generation, and your kids want the same thing I want. So we have to deal with that. But let's stop marginalizing ourselves with silly arguments and realize the fundamental argument is how do we provide food, clothing, shelter, safety, and security for ourselves, our family, our neighborhoods, and our community, and our race at the end of the day. And to do that, we got to get control of economic, politics, and culture. And to
I mean, this is a great show. It's going to cause a lot of us to rethink certain things, and that's always a great thing. Bobby, let me say, knowledge is about not just hearing somebody confirming what you already believe, but hearing somebody that makes you question what you believe. So I appreciate the elder for teaching us things that maybe we didn't see in the latest conspiracy theory books. Before we get to the Q&A for the people, I got one last question, Elder, and then we're going to get to the questions from the people. Do you think we're doing a disservice? Like, we have something called YouTube, something that the world has never seen before, where information is just spread everywhere at the touch of a button. Do you think we're doing a disservice by giving out the esoteric, all this information so freely to the masses instead of waiting until they're ready for it, my brother?
No. Because we had a different state. When many of the truths were packaged, this was 100 years ago, 200 years ago, and we didn't have this kind of information networking, nor did we have the level of education and understanding that we have in the masses today. I think the masses could grasp and understand much of what has been kept secret from them. As much as what's been kept secret from them, stop being secret years ago. What you teach in the classroom from K through 12, the information that's being held secret from the masses. You hear me well, people. We don't get bamboozled and fooled. Much of what you're learning in a classroom from K through 12 with the information that many of these secret societies like Masons and Rosicrucians and others were keeping from the masses, because those rulers wanted to control the masses, because he was talking about how you control the nation state. The ideology of that day was these societies' body of information that showed them how to govern, that showed them basic mathematics, that showed them how to build a social order, that showed them how to write a social contract with the masses. This body of information, at the core of it, is how to be a righteous human being. You know, when they talk about in the Masons standing upright on a square, standing perpendicular on a square, it means like, be righteous in your behavior. Be as calculable righteous as a mathematical problem. You know?
All right. Yeah.
Precise. And that's what you should be. Your character. You should be about building the character of the human being to understand the environment they're in, understand the nature that environment exists in, understand how to build a social order that is based on peace and harmony. But we have more information now than the average teammate than we had back in the day. You know what puts them above you? Is their organizing and their orderly manner of which they learn. They don't try to go from step 1 to step 12. You got to go from step 1 to step 2, from step 2 to step 3, step 3 to step 4, in order to get it right.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's what they're talking about. And the Freemasonry ain't the only secret society. It's not the only one I belong to. And it's not a secret society. It is a society of secrets. If it was a secret society, you wouldn't know it exists.
Yeah.
All right? It is a society of secrets. And the secret is about how to build, how to live your life, build a good character, build a good family, build a good society, control your environment with your body of knowledge. That's what this is about. Our societies where we live, we're all out of control. Some little guy get up a plane from some little country, God knows where, and open up a store in our community and exercise more control over our children's lives and our lives than we can, and it's our community. And we complain about them, but we go and shop at this store and make them rich. Last year, we gave away $1.6 billion to people we say we don't like, and we say they're exploiting us. And then we run around going, fight me? You can't fight me. Your hands too short.
You're talking slick, Elder. Okay.
Fight your own mind and ask why. You gave away $1.6 trillion to people you say don't even care about you. Wouldn't urinate on you if you're on fire.
Mm.
But you gave them $1.6 trillion. Year before, $1.3 trillion. year before, $1.2 trillion. Stop it. Look in the mirror. Criticize yourself. And then criticize more.
Mm.
And then begin to study your history.
Mm.
Don't just talk about John Clark. Read his book.
Indeed. Somebody wants to know, was MLK a Freemason?
Yes, he was. There's hardly a black minister in this country that ain't a Freemason. There may be a few, but most of them aren't. Because when we had nothing else to fight with, we had Freemasonry. Nobody's been against the black church like I was. And you know what? I had to admit I was wrong to a great degree. Because the black church was the only place we had to hide. It was the only place that we could go and do something for ourselves. Where nobody messed with us. Oh, they blew us up every now and then. But for the most part, we could go in that church and plan and scheme. We can go in the Masonic Lodge and plan and scheme. We can help another brother build a house. We can help another one escape out of the South because he was wanting to kill somebody twice. And they did all those things. But we don't know their history and we criticize them. You don't have the right to criticize your ancestors unless you study their history. It is an offense to criticize them if you don't study their history and see what they were walking through. And then we'll have a better understanding. Did they make mistakes? Of course they did. Did we have some corrupt people? Yes, we do. Everybody do. But what about all those who weren't corrupt? We talk about Freemasonry. Did you know about the daughters of Isis? Did you know about the daughters of Tent? Did you know about the daughters of Ruth? These are female fraternal orders. Similar to Masonry. That helped us survive Jim Crow. Did you know about the Oddfellows? Did you know about the Knights of Pythias? These are other societies of secrets that we use to survive the genocide that they call Jim Crow. The Masonry we use to organize and try to survive the genocide of slaves. Did some of our people sell out? Of course. Did some collaborators? Of course. We have collaborators and sellouts today. But most of our people use these institutions to save our behinds, and that's why we're still here in the numbers that we're in. With the wealth that we have, we just spend over $1 trillion. We're not poor. We're ignorant of how to use our money, but we're not poor. When we have poor people in the streets, we have poor people in the streets because those who don't have income won't stand up and fight to make a space for those who don't have. We condemn them to be homeless and then blame the white folks and they're going to kick them up off the streets. Come on, people. Wake up. Freedom is about loving yourself and then loving your kind. No matter how filthy their clothes is. Remember once I gave a brother $20 on the train and I could smell the brother 3 blocks away and he gave me a hug and I was so bloody. I had to go back home. He needed to take a bath.
Indeed.
So let me say, that was the Boule and the Freemason, the ones who told us to integrate in the first place. Nah, that's not true. Some people in the Boule are for integration. Some people in the Freemason are for it, and some are just. You can't paint that broad brush. You got to study the history and see who are. And integration was not what we were fighting for. We were fighting for desegregation. We got out maneuvered by some of our own people. Who weren't even in the Boule, just that elite group, all the elite blacks is not in the Boule. Most of them aren't. Like if they're in the Boule, they might behave better. But the, who worked with the whites who were putting up money, and you know who they were, I don't have to call them and get this stuff in no trouble. You knew who the whites were putting money, because they didn't have the franchise in the South either. They were treated as badly as we were. So they wanted integration. We wanted desegregation. Malcolm X tried to explain that to us. We didn't listen to him because we don't want to be free line and move on with it. Most black people were fighting not for integration. That's what the white press pushed. That's what the white benefactors pushed. And that's what the bourgeois Negroes pushed. The black folks were fighting for desegregation. Meaning that if I take my tax money in this library, I should be able to go to that library. My tax money builds a school, I should be able to choose any school I want to. My tax money runs this bus service in this town. I should sit any damn way I want to. We were talking about enfranchisement. Or give me my tax money back. The Brown versus the Board case, remember that's case in turn of our tax dollars, all of us asking for separate but equal, all right, that black people had up there. One of them was Brown versus the Board in Washington, D.C. One was in South Carolina, because my grandfather and uncle and them fought in that one, Reverend George Festival. That was called Camden, South Carolina versus the state of South Carolina. And then there was another one that was a 15-year-old girl fought in West Virginia. Those three cases were about to be heard by the Supreme Court when this case and Topeka, Kansas came up with the daughter of the president of the NAACP who said the white folks was behind that case. And then the other three cases got joined into that case and the ruling was done on that case, that Brown versus the Board that we get, because the other three cases was asking for the tax money of black people to be returned to the black community for the purpose of education and the proportion of which it was taken. If we do that, the Negroes have enough money to build anything they wanted to. They didn't allow this to be heard in that way. So but you're not going to understand this unless you study history. And a book where you'll get a good feedback on that is a book by a brother named Dr. Harold Crewe. I'm going to pull it up. I'd like to see. I got the book. I won't just be talking.
Yeah, you're a library. You're a library.
Not only do I have the book, I read the book.
Mm.
This book is called Poor Body but Equal, Blacks and Minorities in America, Plural Society, Dr. Harold Crewe. And they didn't like Harold Crewe because he was too black skinned. And he's criticizing the white folks in the civil rights movement and the black folks on the way it's all being handled. So read this book, get an analysis, and then go in the back and look at his extensive bibliography. Then come and argue with somebody. And you have a foundation for it. All of our people go through one way or the other. People fought through in these meetings to different things. You know, but the white media was telling the story, and so we brought the story the white media told. We don't know what those black folks are arguing about. We ain't reading that story.
Hey, Professor, somebody texted me. I think this brother, I used to see this brother when I was Brother Wilson. I shout out to Brother Wilson from Brooklyn, a long time support. He said, ask Professor Small about the Deacons of Defense organized in the South. Who's the Deacons of Defense that this brother wants you to talk about?
During that whole civil rights movement, the white media led us to believe, and they even make movies, leading us to believe that we just stood by and let our people get shot up and beat up and did nothing. And that's not true. Even Dr. King used to carry a gun up to a point. But there was a group called Deacons for Defense, and these were a group of armed black men who protected Dr. King and other civil rights in the South. Protected their homes, protected them that were in the streets, let those white folks in power know if you kill this one, we're going to kill some of yours. They don't like to talk about them, but you can look them up online now. We did not take it to them. I grew up in South Carolina. I got involved in these sit-ins and stuff when I was 14 years old. We weren't involved because we wanted to integrate. Well, we were saying, you take our tax money and we want to treat just like everybody else.
That's a different perspective that I think a lot of people don't even consider or think about.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I love talking to you, Professor.
In that little town I was in, when I was in high school, and I graduated in 64, we had, in Little Georgetown, South Carolina, we had six black policemen. That's unheard of in certain parts of the South. We didn't get off the sidewalk. Ask anybody in Georgetown about Georgetown, South Carolina. Got a book on Georgetown sitting there someplace, and somebody goes, I thought it was a nice book. I have to find it. That we didn't get off the sidewalk for them. Matter of fact, they let the white kids out of school 15 to 20 minutes before us so they can get their ass home before we hit the sidewalk. Check the stats.
Completely different from what we were taught. Wow. Say that again, brother. They let the what? Say it again.
The white kids got out of school 15 to 20 minutes before us so they could get their behinds off the street before we were out of school. Because somebody's going to get their behind with that day.
Wow.
But people don't think about that. My grandparents, we were picking in a theater called the Strand in the Palace. And our parents said, y'all doing what? And we thought them old folks, these are the Freemasons. My granddaddy was the head of the Freemasons. And they said, we don't beg white people for nothing. So you know what they did? They started showing the same movie the white folks were showing and black movie night at the black church on Wednesday night. So you don't have to beg them to go to their place. We got places. And we have popcorn on it and popcorn. And, you know, and we was in the church.
Mm-hmm.
I said, hop along, Cassidy.
Mm-hmm.
Our story hasn't been written yet. White folks have not pushed. Just like most people will never know about true but equal. Please read this book. Let me see what Hal says. He says, why has 20th century black leadership failed to achieve its goals of complete integration, elimination of poverty and severe underemployment, or development of institutions to offset social pathologies? Is black leadership today capable of ameliorating the worsening conditions of underprivileged black Americans? These are among the major questions addressed by Professor Hal Cruz. So see what this brother has done in your research. So you can look at the Boulay and look at these other organizations and make an informed analysis of it. And you see that you might have been wrong about something. You know?
Indeed. Let's get to the next question. Ask him, how is masonry used to rise to the top of the power structure in corporate America, specifically for black masons?
If you're a Mason, you know, you have a way of letting other Masons know you are a Mason. And so one of the ways you do that is through what they call signs and symbols, right? Like I was in Las Vegas last week, and some brothers and sisters, and I was speaking for, I need to share my picture. I'm with the governor and the mayor and all the big boys out there, right? But I was brought out there by the Black Caucus of Nevada. And this is my second time teaching high school kids. They've organized, the Black Caucus have organized 34 high schools with predominantly black kids. They've organized a black student union in each one of them. And they bring these kids together in a convention every year. And so, and I go and lecture to them. And so this year the governor showed up, the mayor showed up, because they're trying to see what black folks are doing. And I was also asked to do a piece for training some teachers on how to teach black studies in the school. And so the one thing I learned that those people who are Masons in these secret societies, they're saying to their brethren that you and I are at a certain level of how we deal with our humanity. So I need help. I give you a sign saying I'm in trouble. I need some help. If you're a true brother, you're going to give me some help. Whether that is helping me get a job or helping me not get as much time in jail for a crime I've committed or not committed, or help me even get out of jail for a crime I did commit. All of those things happen because the people who you call your brothers are in power in some space or place or another. And so you use that position. You know, but anything could be used for good or bad. That's when you come back to your history. What does your history inform you as regards your behavior going forward?
Indeed, indeed, indeed. All right, let's get to the next question. Let's see. Ask him what his take on us being the original people of America and us influencing a lot of what we call Freemasonry and even ancient Kemet. You understand that? That's like a...
Ask him what his take is on being original people of America.
Yeah, and us influencing
what we call Freemasonry and even ancient Kemet. I don't understand the even ancient Kemet part.
No.
Well, America... it's still under the ice. Much of America is still under ice at the time Kemet was at its peak. So, you know, Africans are the aborigines in every corner. Are we going to be everywhere else and not in America? you know.
Mm-hmm.
The African is the first and the original people everywhere in the world, including North America. But also you got to study the glacial period too. Much of North America is still on the ice at a certain point where we are doing multiple civilizations in other places around the world, from Cambodia to Africa to India to even parts of the deep parts of South America before we even arrive up in North America.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yes,
and that's 873 likes and Bill come on set.
Yeah, Capunia, family, I mean, do half of y'all in here not like what, I know y'all like what y'all listen, sometimes people just forget to hit the like button. We have to about 1,700 people, so family, hit the like button. You know,
yeah.
It's been
a long time to learn how to do that. And I didn't know you had to do that. There was significance in doing that. But no, we are the original people here. And a good book for that by a brother named Brother Inhotep, not Michael. He's going to kill me for forgetting his name. His name is Brother Inhotep, and he writes a very extensive book on the first Americans who died, right? And his research, again, and his bibliography is extraordinary. So get his book. Somebody out there help me. Y'all know, y'all heard of Brother Imhotep.
David Imhotep?
Huh?
David Imhotep?
David, Brother David Imhotep.
Mm-hmm.
But, and a lot of people who are talking about this is not going to the book. So if you're going to talk about we're the first Americans, at least go do some research. Buy the book of the man who put decades of his life into the research. And look at the bibliography he's gathered. David have over 150, more than that. He got close to 500 sources. His sources is this thick. So go do the research, and you don't have to be in pains to tell people we are the first Americans. Look at my skin. Am I red enough for you?
Mm-hmm.
You know, look at me. You don't know who I am?
Mm-hmm.
I could take you to the grave and the mounds of my people are buried in South Carolina. But I'm also African, because they were African. You know? They were African. And so we need to just study history. Laron Bennett in his book, Dr. Laron Bennett, his book is called The Shaping of Black America. There's one chapter in the book that's called The Red and the Black. Read that chapter. And he's the first one I heard talking about the presence of blacks here before Ivan Van Sertima. And then read Ivan Van Sertima's book. Ivan is focusing a lot on Central America and South America, but Laron Bennett is talking about South Carolina, North Carolina, and Georgia. Deciding that we all look black, so he's going to raid our villages and put all of us in his way.
Mm.
We have a history and we have a right. But study. I'm just telling my brothers and sisters, don't be scared to study. Read. Go get these books. And always, that's the clock for me. Anytime you read a book, use that person's bibliography and check out his facts. And then you got power to go forward with.
Hey, Professor, they want to know how do you feel about the nation of God and earth?
I love the nation of God and earth. I knew the founder of the nation of God and earth. I was with him in the last night of his life. You know, God Allah and all of us, we had just taken over a site. You know where the state office building is on 125th Street? When we tried to stop them from building that building back in 69, so we took over that site. From Lenox Avenue to 7th Avenue, from 125th Street, and we call it reparation site number one. And we had tents up, and we had soldiers, and we had guns, and we held them off for 2 months. And the last time I saw them out was one night, Brother James, who was one of the young leaders at that time, and the gods on earth, and myself, and a few other brothers, we all standing out by Mecca. By the headquarters on 126th and 7th. Okay, and he left us about, I guess, about 2 in the morning. And when we woke up the next morning, we learned that he had been assassinated.
Mm.
But that community protected the black community. Nation. Now, in those days, it's called the 5% Nation. And the 5% Nation wouldn't let white stores sell us garbage. They go in and shut it down. You know, the Urban League had a large group of learning centers called the Urban League Academy. Well, Dr. Law negotiated with him, so he took that over and created almost a junior college network. Or what do you do when you go to get your high school diploma when you didn't have one? Throughout Harlem and Brooklyn, the young black folks, people don't even talk about that. He did. Many of the brothers, if not most of the brothers in the God's birth, went on to college. Got doctor's degree, lawyer's degree, PhDs, their teachers, their nurses, their social workers. Nobody talks about that and the great work that they've done. But there's a couple of good books that have been out. There's a young man writing another book now that I think would be the seminal piece of literature on the gods and earth. No, we need to respect the work that was done. We need to respect God Allah, Brother Clarence, and his founding of the nation. He was a friend of Malcolm, but he left the nation before Malcolm X to build the movement of the God Center.
Let me get to the next question. This is a good one. What is the relationship between black fraternities and Freemasonry?
There's not a formal connection, but there's an informal one, because you find a lot of young black men who are in the fraternities will gravitate towards Freemasonry. The structure is pretty much structured the same, except for a lot of the foolishness and the hazing you see going on in the college. And even some of that has still gone into Freemasonry when I came in, and a lot of people had to fight to say, this has to stop. You know? And so a lot of that got wiped out of Freemasonry, at least I know in New York. But a lot of the people who you see are the black business owners, the black carpenters, the plumbers, in many of the cities, in Philadelphia, Baltimore, Washington, Norfolk, Virginia, Chicago, Detroit, you know, St. Louis. These people are members of the Freemasons. And it's a way to be organized to protect one another against the dominance of white organized structuring. It's a way to decide, how do we get involved in the politics at the local level? Ultimately, and I was one of them too, I'm guilty just as guilty. The brothers and sisters in the nationalist community, we didn't understand how to get control of electoral politics. We thought we could be in America but not be a part of America. It doesn't work like that.
Mm-hmm.
You can be a part but control your part.
Okay.
You know, control your part. You go around this Chinese town. There's Korean town. There's Vietnamese town. They control their part.
Control their part. Yes, sir.
You know, but you got to take control of the politics at the local level. You got to run the school board. You got to run the area policy board. You got to run the board that determines what can be built on the land. You got to run the city council, at least, if you're going to get control of your community.
Mm. We're gonna take about two more questions, family. I appreciate the professor coming on. We still got about 1,700 people. Family, please make sure you hit the like button. That is of utmost importance. But it's just been a magnificent show tonight. Something that you got to rewind, family. Something that you got to rewind and listen to again. We're gonna get to the next question. I think Cedric is saying there are structures in North America older than those. I think he's saying, aren't there? They're like, the way that people write, y'all got to write this shit better. I think he's saying, aren't there structures in North America older than those of Africa?
No, that's not true. People ought to stop playing with themselves. Africa had civilizations when most of North America was still covered with ice, okay?
Man.
We had two Wormian ice age, two major glacial periods that have receded. And most of North Africa North America was covered at a certain time. But if you look at Central America, where we further south, you're looking at the African input. You're looking at the Mayans and the Incas and all of those pyramid building societies down there. That's up. You find some in North America, but they come later. the mounds in Mississippi, the ones in Illinois, they come later. Great Zimbabwe, white folks trying to make it young, it's probably older. You know, what we see in Kemet, which can go back about 30,000 years, was the child of what was in Sudan, was the child of what was in the Congo, and that was the child of what was in Southern Africa. The oldest fossils found in the world is in Southern Africa of any kind of human being. Okay? The first time an ankh is seen anywhere is in the basal volcanic stone of South Africa, both Ra and the ankh, thousands of years before Kemet is born. Okay? So we just need to study history. We don't have to fight each other over which one is the oldest. Find out which one is the oldest. Do research.
Okay, let's get to this.
You know, listen. Even if there wasn't a single black folk in North America before slavery, right? Once we came and built this sucker, it's ours. And I don't have to qualify that. I built it. It's mine. And my job is to take it back from those who think it's theirs. But some of us ain't ready for that fight that we want to yada, yada, yada. No, yada, yada, yada is good. But come up with schemes to take the black community back. Buy land, own land, build houses, build your families, foster your children. You know, one of my daughters is 5 minutes away, one is 20 minutes away, one of my sons is 10 minutes away, and the other one is 30 minutes away. Okay? And all of us own our home. We bought it. We didn't steal the money. We didn't sell drugs. We work with one another to build our community, because you can't kill a community and then say you're building a community. That doesn't work. If you got land in the South or your parents got land in the South, get control of their land and own it.
Mm-hmm.
Don't sell it for a few dollars or let it get taken away because somebody didn't pay a few hundred dollars worth of tax.
Oh.
And then come up with some business plan and idea on how to build a business plan. Stop going into somebody else's community and so, but I'm going because I want some shrimp fried rice. And so I'm going to make him a millionaire so he can send his children to school because I want some shrimp. You don't want to fry some damn shrimp and rice.
Mm-hmm.
Going in another one's community, I want some tacos. You can't make your own damn tacos? And then you come into Harlem and I see somebody named Manor, who's from another ethnic group, running the biggest soul food restaurant in Harlem, and we got it full every day like a bunch of insane people. Like the benefit is dependent on me. But I can't go into this community and do that. And anybody can come in our community because we are busy trying to murder each other over what's our name.
Mm-hmm.
I understand we need to own the block. Then we can discuss the name.
Mm-hmm. This is the last question, Professor. Would you like to see more black people involved in this matrix after all of this is said and done, Professor, would you?
Yes.
2022.
I would love to because it's a way of organizing yourself.
I would think it's as effective as it was back in the day.
It's a way of buying. No, but go and fix it.
Hmm.
You got a car that's broken, you fix it if you want to drive anywhere.
Okay.
You got a broken bike chain that's broken, fix it if you want to ride anywhere. But you don't have to invent a new bike. Invent a new car.
And I like talking to you. I like talking to you.
I promise the brothers I'm happy. I'm gonna flip over to their show before they go out tonight too. So how much more time we have? Because I don't have.
Oh, we get on it right now. We get on it right now. Hey, Professor, leave your contact info for those who want to get in contact with you.
Yeah, I'm not gonna say to put my number. I'll put my number on the internet. It's 914-960. 2693. And the best time to call me is after 9 at night, because before that, that's my wife's time and my grandchildren's time. And then I'm going to just be rough on you. So at 9, you get some time. You know?
Hey, thanks for everybody tuning in once again.
Powerful.
Make sure you show support to those who support.
Powerful, guys. Powerful, powerful, powerful. That's pretty much it for that, you guys. I've included the YouTube link to the show notes, end, I'm so glad I did this podcast, even after that was my take two with doing it. But I'm glad that I redid that because in a place of balance, in a place of your heart chakra, right, and alignment, I'm finding myself revisiting topics. And back to the basics, that's what this season is entitled. And just getting back to the history and getting back to guys. Don't believe us, right? Do your own research. He gave plenty of books. I've included one of the books in the show notes. Manly P. Hall is great, you guys. Great, 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 great for you guys to research. I have a plethora of his books in my own personal library. So PDF library, you know, if you want any PDFs or anything like that, guys, I got books galore. You know, I want to open the website back up this year because I got books, I got paintings. I do queen and king affirmation paintings, guys, for your own home, something to inspire you. I just finished one this AM and I'm getting back to that. But, you know, a lot of creativity. This goes into the Oracle pool that I pulled today, guys, and it is it's about creativity, it's about joy. I pulled three, right? Three, the master teacher, joy, head, Haru, and sacral chakra, right? Abundance, just life, joyful activity. You know, when is the last time you got out? And when is the last time that you've done something that, you know, I always tell people to tap into their inner child. You know, I go back to like five. You know, what is my five-year-old like? Adventure, Six Flags, you know what I mean? Just jumping off the trees and swinging off the branches and shit, you know what I mean? So, you know, joyful activity, guys, joy, you know, sex, you know, and sex doesn't have to be about the, I think Kama Sutra, is it, or something, a tantra, or if you will, you know, but just the, not the, what do you call it, not the perverted aspect of sex, but how do you use your sexual energy more in my yacht? You know what I mean? So being creative with it, right? And power of the divine, just know, shout out to the Most High, just know that there is a force of divine that is always looking over you, always protecting you, always has your back when you are tapped in, you know, and when you are in alignment with it. Sacral chakra, again, it's all, and it's funny because I pulled them together, and it's all saying the same thing. Creativity, sexual healing, letting your emotions flow, not resisting them, but examining emotions as they come up and flow. And it takes us back to this whole podcast, guys, and the intention of this podcast today in this moment, again, was to revisit this and just really have a different perspective. I'm going to come back and do a part two because there was a lot of controversy because it can be a sticky topic, right? But there, like Professor Small said, you know, when early on in his day, he was like angry. There was some stuff that he shouldn't have done, you know, even with me. Angry, a lot of stuff that I should have done, you know, coming through your whole growth process is important. Not to alter it. Not to think right or wrong, you know, everything happens how it, you know, happens. And even with history, everything happens how it's supposed to happen. And the real premise of this podcast is understanding, to understand, and ultimately to overstand why things are the way they are and how we could understand each other's many different perspectives, you know. Professor Smalls may not be in a brotherhood, you know what I mean, because of dominance and power and control versus, you know, and I'm sorry, Brother Rich, but versus Brother Rich Mike, you know what I'm saying? And I don't feel that way about him, you know what I'm saying? But there are certain ones who may be in it for the dominance, the control, the power, the, you know, the perks or whatever, you know, and not really even giving a fuck about the people. And that's them, you know what I'm saying? All of the diversion and all of the arguing back and forth, you know, guys, I think that's about, I don't know if I said it on this podcast or the other one that I had to delete, but the diversion and the playing the track over and over and over again and not truly getting nowhere is, I feel, the setup, you know what I'm saying? So if, you know, in my father's one, okay, so I do know he's one of the good ones who really utilized his expertise in order to, he built foundations for us, you know what I mean, in the family. And, you know, he was really, truly, wow, I got tingles. He was really, truly, he is really, truly a great man, you know, and he really never really used any of that, you know, that I know of for any malicious gain. You know what I'm saying? So I respect people and, you know, who are of brotherhoods who do it for the good purposes, a good reason. But even if the ones that don't, you know what I'm saying, even understanding why, you know, we have to understand why we do the things we do instead of wanting to harm one another, break each other down, you know what I'm saying? So I come in, well, look, because it can be chaos too, because I can do either or. I can use my shit for, you know what I mean? So, you know, it, why do I do the things I do? Why do we do the things that we do? I think it's more of a understanding, you know what I mean? We have to grow together, you guys, and I feel that we are. So that's great. All right, join me tomorrow. I have an exciting podcast tomorrow. That's probably going to be a two-parter too, and it's called Ascension Symptoms, you know what I'm saying? Somebody once told me, you know, you are not sick. Your body is going through transformation, you know. And many people don't understand a lot of the stuff that's going on because they're not tapped in. So I just want to bring my view, you know, here on the platform, enhancing your awareness collectively, right? All right, guys, so join me tomorrow. It should be tomorrow, same time. I normally be on time for those. But join me tomorrow, 11 a.m. Eastern, 10 Central, for that. And, guys, remember, don't believe us. Do your own research. Shout out to CB Portolo. All right, guys.
Don't believe me, don't believe me, don't believe me, don't believe me, don't believe me. believe me. Do your research, get on my level, get on your mental. Build a pyramid, build a temple, build a ministry, a powerful symbol. Make your presence felt, buckle the system. Fuck being broke, fuck being victims. Ain't no more hope, ain't no more wishing. Ain't no faith, ain't no Christmas. That's a fake. Stick to the mission, stick to creation, create our nation. Don't believe me, do your research. Don't believe me.
Good morning, evening, friend. Here's your friendly announcer. I have serious news to pass on to everybody. What I'm about to say could mean the world's disaster. Could change your joy and laughter to tears and pain. Is that love in need of love today? Don't delay, send yours in right away. Measure. If love and peace you trade.